Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Well, normally we'd hoot and holler and say, welcome in, bonus episode, but today's kind of a sad day, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had lost... I mean, not somebody that we know, but somebody that we know. That makes sense?
No, absolutely. Well, he's definitely a part of our childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, I, for one, you know, since we've been doing this podcast, you know, I have a certain knack for certain movies, but I was big into animation as a kid.
Yeah.
So that was really my go-to. So, yeah, Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we lost him today.
That was a... I woke up to it, and I guess he had passed away yesterday, and he had, from what I heard or read, what they call the short battle with cancer. So I don't know if he had had cancer that had progressed really far, and he only just now found out about it. And so by the time he found out, there already wasn't long to go.
Yeah.
But it apparently wasn't a long-term thing, and he passed away. He was 66 years old. Same age as my mom, actually, both born in 1955. Way too young.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, he could have been doing Batman for a lot longer. And sadly, in one sense, we're lucky because he's done so much Batman voiceover.
Absolutely, which, yeah.
I mean, like 14 different video games. I looked at this. The numbers might be wrong, but it was 1,000-plus hours of television.
Oh.
I don't know how many movies.
I mean, you got to think. That came out... Batman, the animated series, came out in 92.
Right.
And that was Fox Kids. I mean, think about how many great shows we've gotten.
We were in middle school.
There was X-Men.
Yeah.
Batman animated series.
Yep.
Eek the Cat.
Yep.
Tiny Toon Adventures.
Animaniacs.
I mean, dude, there were some good ones on there.
I would rush, like the bus would let me off at the corner and I would run to my, because the timing of, like, you'd get home right as like the theme song from Tiny Toons was playing.
Yeah.
And you had to book it, at least for me, to my house. And then I could catch that, and then it would go into Animaniacs and then Batman.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know? Well, and that was, you know, at that time I was living in an apartment. It was only, you know, it was a 2-bedroom apartment. I was sharing a bunk bed with my brother.
Yeah.
And it was run home as fast as you can. Book bag just hanging off your back, just bouncing.
Yeah.
And get in and get it on as soon as... I mean, he was already home watching.
Right.
Because we rode two different buses.
Right.
But, man, I got in. He was... Oh, how old would he have been? 92.
Let's see.
He would have been like 5.
Yeah.
So I was, what, 13? 12, 13?
Yep.
Oh, man, that was a great time.
Same thing with Bob. Bob was a little kid, and he was watching it. It was... I mean, so how good does something have to be for a 13-year-old and a 5-year-old to both be like, this is awesome.
Well, and here's the best part, right? So now 30 years later, right, I've introduced this now to my daughter, and she loves this show.
The animated series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is her go-to. This is her Batman and her Joker and her Riddler and her and her Harley Quinn and her Two-Face. Like, everything she knows, like, this is her Bible for this show. And it's been amazing watching her love it as much as I loved it. I mean, she's the same age as my brother was when we first started watching it.
Isn't that something?
And she loves it. And so it just goes to show it stands the test of time.
Yeah, well, you look at as... And I know I've heard other people say, I know Kevin Smith says the same thing, right? He says, anytime, and this is what I would always do too, anyone asks me, oh, who do you think the best Batman is?
Oh, sure. Right? That's always a,
And they think like you're going to say Keaton or Christian Bale or Ben Affleck or somebody, but I always would go Kevin Conroy
every time.
Right? Because he is Batman.
Well, it goes the same way with Joker, with Hamill. I mean, I can't think of anybody better than those two guys to be Batman and Joker.
Well, here's how you know, right? When you reading a Batman comic book, what voice are you hearing?
Oh, absolutely 100%.
Right.
Well, and he did justice to two roles. I mean, he just wasn't just Batman. I mean, he was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And he made Bruce Wayne kind of cool, you know?
Today, all through TikTok, there's just been clips of him going because people are posting tributes and stuff. And one of the things that somebody posted was an interview of him talking about how he was the first one to do two different voices for Bruce Wayne and Batman, and how he said after the first couple of rehearsals, he said, what if I try something different? What if I just use my own natural voice for Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
I mean, he's should be the most charming guy in the room.
Yeah.
Whatever room he's in.
He's charming.
Right?
Right.
And then the voice that I auditioned with, well, I'll do that for Batman. And because otherwise no one would ever believe this is the most recognizable guy in Gotham, right? As Falcone said in Batman Begins, you have to go 1,000 miles for someone not to know your face, right? Like how would the guy slap a cowl on and speak the same way and people would know him?
Well, right? And I mean, just the amount of characters too, that Bruce, Tim, Paul Dini, mm-hmm. all those guys like pushed through that show.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like grade A old school actors.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Arlene Sorkin is probably again the only Harley Quinn voice I can think of.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I mean, so much in fact that they bring them back how many years later to do
Lego games,
the Arkham and the Rocksteady games.
Yep.
I mean, that was huge. I remember that was like a big selling point was Bro. We got the three original made that game.
Dude, that is, without a doubt, the Arkham games, Arkham Asylum, not talking about Origins, but Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight.
Yes.
Is peak Batman. There is no better Batman content for me that has ever been produced in those three games. That's when it reached its apex. You got the best voice cast, the best story, all the characters. It was just like that is the movies have never even come close to touching
dude
what Arkham's done.
When Killer Croc in that game and you're walking through the sewers.
I know. Bro,
and the pallets are floating.
I know.
And you're just like like something touched my foot. Like
I've played through all three times. I've done the trilogy three times.
Nice.
My butthole still puckers when I'm running through Croc's sewer.
Every time.
Every time. Yeah. And every time I play this game, I go, why can't the DC films be like this? Why not make a Batman movie where the whole thing takes place in one night? He's Batman the whole time.
Yeah.
It's just like Batman getting through the night from hell, basically. Yeah,
sure.
By the end, his suit's all ripped up, but he figures out a way to do it. Like, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
This would just be a brilliant idea for a movie.
Everybody in that game, though, made that game so great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even the Riddler. I mean, even having to solve his little puzzles through the whole. I mean, that game was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. I tried to play it again recently with my kid.
Yeah.
And she was like, we got to the part where the elevator, and then that's where Croc first shows up. And he's like, I smell you. You know, and he's like,
right.
And he's like, I can taste it. You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm done. I can't. And I was like, all right, well, maybe you're a little too young for this.
Well, it's because they took the characters from when we were 13. They're like, okay, everybody that loved this show is 35 now when this came out. So we've got to make it a little more adult. Sure.
Yeah. No.
You know, than what it was, which is part of why I love it.
And there you hit it perfectly is that's what makes it such a great game is because of its nostalgicness. It hits you to your core.
Yeah.
But again, if that original series wasn't as good as it was, that original series was so rich.
Starts everything.
And so, like, it had a full orchestra.
Everybody understood. It was so impactful that everyone across all industries, games, television, movies, they all knew Kevin Conroy's Batman. That's why he got hired to do that. That's why when they made the Mortal Kombat guys made the Injustice. Thank you. They're like, well, Kevin Conroy. When the Lego DC supervillains game comes up, like Kevin Conroy, right? Like even though they had another Lego Batman guy,
Will Arnett,
Will Arnett, and then even the Lego video games had their own guy.
Yeah,
they still when they got a chance to have Kevin Conroy come in for that one, they got him because everybody understands. Everyone else, it's like kind of doing a Kevin Conroy imitation in a way.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like Dietrich Bader's good, but he tries to do his own thing.
Well, yeah, but Dietrich Bader did. I mean, so he's Batman in two series that I know of. Mm-hmm. One, the newer like adult version of the Harley Quinn series.
Yeah,
which isn't bad.
Yeah.
But I really liked him in Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
That's that a good. Hilarious show.
Yeah.
But that was a comical look at Batman.
Right.
And they did it justice because, again, knowing the Batman the Animated Series, they took what you loved about that show,
yes,
and injected it into the characters that you now love and made it comical.
Yes.
And so, you know, he does a really great job. I also think one of the Baldwin brothers did the voice of Batman in one of the movies.
Seriously?
Yeah, and he actually didn't do a bad job. I think it was Steven. I'm not exactly sure. I'm trying to remember which one it was. But yes, no one, I mean, Conroy is untouchable.
There's a really awesome story that I remember Kevin Conroy telling from a long time ago that I think just sums up what a cool guy he was. He was down there when 9/11 had happened. Now, the show had been off the air for a little while, and the cleanup crews were starting. How long were people down there cleaning up Ground Zero for a long time?
Yeah.
He was there serving meals in a kitchen to the guys that were down there cleaning up the site, right? Like, just had an apron on, was just another guy doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And he says at one point in the middle of the night, one of these guys comes up to him and he says, oh, yeah, you know, my day job, I'm an architect, right? What do you do? He's like, well, I do voices, right? And he's like, I knew it. You're freaking Batman, right? And yeah. He's like, yeah, well, you know, yes, yeah. I am. And then he goes out to the where everybody was eating. He's like, hey, you know who's been making your food for you guys? It's freaking Batman yeah. back here, right? Yeah. And then Conroy says all he hears from the back of the room is like, bullshit. make him prove it. And so he goes, oh, all right. And so literally from the kitchen, you hear the voice.
I am the night.
Yes, yeah. I am darkness. I am the night. Yeah. I am Batman.
Awesome.
And then everybody goes, holy shit, it is Batman. And just like what a cool, for these guys that have been just killing themselves, getting this work done. I mean, how cool is that? You know, that he's in there doing that stuff.
Well, and it's great because, like, that's always been my thing. Like, I've always wanted to do voiceover work.
Yeah.
I've always loved, I appreciate the people that make these characters who we love,
mm-hmm.
whether it be Tara Strong or, I mean, you just go down the list of how many people are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of escape my name, the guy that plays Bender. I love him too.
On Futurama.
And I can't think of his name. Billy West, that's another one from Futurama.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why is it? I'm totally drawing a blank now.
When I think of the guy, Andrew Paulson.
Yes, another right. one, yeah.
Love that guy.
But yeah, just all the voices that we've grown up loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things where I just, to have somebody like that, that's that cool and that honest and that pure, and then still just at the end of the day be a person
mm-hmm.
is amazing to me, you know? Because like with these big stars, I mean, it's almost like they're always on a soapbox.
Right.
And they got to like, hey, you got to do this and you got to do that. And it's like,
no.
Cartoons just took you to a place where there was none of that.
No, for sure.
You just got to enjoy a half hour of your life in that moment or 4 hours of cartoons, however long you were watching them, you know, and you got to just,
right.
Oh, school like, sucked today.
Yeah. What's next? Well, Freakazoid is on.
Oh right yeah. Now. Freakazoid. Love run around in his underwear. He doesn't even know he's flying, but he still makes the whoosh noises. I mean, that's a great show.
Yeah.
The no. Tick. That's another one that came from Fox Kids.
I'm doing laundry.
Spoon. Right. As he busts through a wall.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
that was a great show.
It's good stuff. And you know, before COVID, we would hit Comic Cons at least once or twice a year. Sometimes we'd go together, sometimes we'd run into each other while we were there.
Sure.
And it felt like it was a more frequent thing. And then obviously COVID kind of killed that for a while. And I know they've been starting to come back, but I have yet to go to one since the pandemic has essentially ended. And I keep seeing these posts of like Kevin at these different cons, but he was never at the ones we would go to, and he'd go to different ones every year. And I always thought to myself, well, one of these days he's going to be at the one that I'm at, and I'm going to get a chance to meet him and to say hello and to shake his hand. And it's just such a bummer that that's never going to happen now.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, missed that opportunity, sadly, to have an interaction. But, you know, we'll always have the performances and all of that. It's just such a bummer, man. Because now if they wanted to come back and do another Arkham game or do something else, it just won't be the same.
No, it won't be the same.
You know?
Yeah, and it's tough because, like, for me, you know, I'm such a goof off that when, like, I don't always care when somebody passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robin Williams is a great example. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
He put out a lot of great movies.
Yep.
But it just didn't hit me. You know, didn't hit me when he passed. Sure. And it's like that with most stars. But the biggest one that got me was today.
Yeah.
I got kind of teary-eyed a little bit because mm-hmm. it was like, man, that was such a huge piece of my childhood.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes you just go, man, that's a bummer. Exactly what you said, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, he wasn't a loved one. And so it is different. It feels different, but it does hit a little bit harder than, as you say, some of these other, we'll call them celebrities or
sure.
you know, art actors or whoever. I remember probably the ones that bothered me the most. I remember when Jim Varney died in 2000. I grew up a big Ernest fan, so that
sure.
was a huge bummer to me. The other ones were, you know, probably not too dissimilar from other people. John Candy.
Oh,
when he passed away.
Yeah, I remember being bummed out a bit. Don Rickles is another one I really enjoyed that he passed away. I was pretty sad.
Yeah, and then Farley was the only other one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Chris.
I know where I was at when that all went down.
It's just crazy.
I was in Chicago working.
The impact these people have on people they'll never meet.
Yeah.
You know, right? And plenty of people that they do, right? Which I'm sure becomes a nuisance to some people, but man, when you have this kind of a far-reaching impact, by all accounts, I've never heard a single story from anybody that's like, you know, I met Kevin and he was a dick.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right.
Well, and watch any interview he's been in. He's just the most, like, warm guy
mm-hmm.
and seems like he just honestly wants you to be, like, he's happy that you love him as Batman.
And he just loves being Batman.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, oh, yeah, all right, I'll be Batman again. Where's the money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that and or, like, again, you know, like, yeah, he doesn't care.
No, he's like, he's fantastic.
Yeah. I would love to be Batman again.
What was that Justice League movie? There was a Justice League. It was an animated movie. And I can't remember for the life of me. It's the one where Batman had a contingency set up for each member of the Justice League. Like, if they had went bad, that he was able to take each and every one of them out. But somebody basically hijacks Batman's
list. Yeah, it's I believe the Owls.
Is it the Court of Owls that do it?
I'm trying to think. Yeah,
there is a scene in that movie where Superman, where they basically are going to kick Batman out of the Justice League because
absolutely.
They found out about this.
Yeah,
right. And Superman comes in to have a chat with him before he leaves, and basically he's like, "If you thought I wasn't going to have a contingency plan for the most powerful people in the universe possibly going on, then I don't."
The one guy without powers.
The one guy without powers. And Superman actually says, "I get it," at the end, and hands him the box of kryptonite.
Yeah. Well, the kryptonite bullet.
Yeah.
That they shot into him in that episode. I'm trying to think of what movie that is.
That's
a really great movie too.
And Conroy's performance in that scene alone.
Oh, it was great.
Superman is awesome.
Well, and even you brought up the whole "I am the justice, I am the knight."
Yeah.
I mean, that whole scene when he's in the Batman animated series, I want to say, I think he was, poisoned by Scarecrow's gas? And
there's this big giant, like, skull thing that was coming at him.
Yeah,
like,
and he was thinking it was his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad was telling him he was a failure.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm not a failure."
Yeah.
And he's like, I am the justice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that whole bit, man, I get chills right now just thinking about it.
By far the most famous line in the whole series, "I am darkness, I am the night, I am Batman." He said it a few times, right? And it's the one that everybody always wants him to say when they meet him in cons and all that stuff, right? And what the Arkham games did was so smart is through all three games, he never said it until the very end.
Final, yeah.
When Joker is taking over his mind because the poisoned by Joker's blood or whatever, right? And he's inside his own consciousness fighting the Joker in almost like a dream, right?
Yeah.
And the very last, like at the very, very end, when he finally defeats him and vanquishes him in his own mind, because he's already long been dead.
Sure.
Is when he says the line, "I am darkness, I am the night, I am Batman." And they saved it for the end of all three. And I was just like, that's just genius.
Well, it's great writing. Like,
do you know what I'm saying?
If that's not anything we talk about in this podcast, is the writing.
Because the moment you're waiting forever for him to, and he finally does it.
And you don't even know if it's going to happen.
You're just like, Yeah, I remember in my living room with controller in my hand, just going, yes!
Just drop kicking the TV.
Yeah! Yes!
He said the thing!
Here's the final proof I'll point to as to why Kevin Conroy is the greatest Batman of all time. In every single live-action Batman, Batman is by far the least interesting person in the movie. No offense to Bale and Keaton and those guys, but it was all about Nicholson and DeVito and Catwoman and Heath Ledger.
Yeah, it's who are the villains right? going to be.
Who are the villains? Batman is about his rogues gallery.
Absolutely.
Right? And so the fact
I would say the same for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that Conroy was able to be essentially the only Batman that was...
For the last 30 years. Yeah.
That was more compelling than the villains.
Absolutely.
Is an incredible achievement.
Yeah.
Because none of the other ones have been able to do that. I watched Batman for Conroy.
Batman.
And Hamill's right. great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, great Joker performance. But I didn't care if the Joker was going to be on this episode or whatever because I was there for Batman. And he's, in my estimation, the only one that's been more compelling and more interesting than the villains.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's a great point. I would have never thought of that.
Yeah.
But you're right. Because, I mean, it didn't matter who was on the episode.
No.
I mean, it could have been a Ra's al Ghul episode.
Right, or the Ghost in the Gray or whoever. Right?
Yeah, and you're just like, awesome. I'm watching it. I'm set. I'm good.
Yes. Or Clayface.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man. That Clayface episode was a great one.
Dude, there were so many good
ones. The Man-Bat episode?
The Zatanna episode?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a two-parter, I think, with her. And, the Two-Face?
Well, and even the movies that spawned off of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had the one with, I think it's called Sub-Zero. It's with Mr. Freeze. And he's like hanging out in the Arctic and he's swimming and he's just like, he's snorkeling with like a couple of polar bears. I mean, it's just that whole show.
I'm going to miss the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, John DiMaggio. That's who.
Okay.
That's who I was thinking of. That's from, he was Bender. He also was, I want to say maybe Killing Joke. He was the voice of Joker.
Oh, did he?
And he did a pretty good job.
That's awesome.
But yeah. You know, it's a funny story. I was talking to my neighbor today, and we were just kind of chatting it up. He's like, hey, you know, you shoot the crap with your neighbor. Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, you know, Kevin Conroy died. And he was like, I don't know who that is. And I said, well, that's the voice of Batman from the animated series. He's like, I love that show.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, he's one of the most iconic Batman that have ever graced my presence of the 30 years I've been watching Batman.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I really like Joker from that show. And I go, oh, that's Mark Hamill. And he stops and he looks at me and he goes, like Luke Skywalker? I was like,
yeah.
He goes, shut up. And I go, Google it, man.
And Google it, baby.
And it just blew his mind. And I just laughed.
Yeah.
But then he got on to reading about Kevin Conroy today. So he was just like, wow, this guy, he's done a zillion things as Batman. I'm like,
well, that's why I stopped even qualifying it. And say like, he's Batman from the anime. I was just like, he plays Batman.
Well, and then they went on to Justice League.
Yeah.
Then Justice League Unlimited. Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Batman Beyond was him too, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
The older Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, because he did the old Bruce Wayne. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they did these shorts that were on my daughter and I were watching them. I wish I remember what they're called. They were like JLA shorts.
Oh, really?
And they were fun. And they were just like quick little like 15-minute episodes.
Mm.
And they brought him back. They brought back the original Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman.
I love it.
And they were the main three. And it was so much fun to watch those, too.
I know a lot of these cartoons are really done on a budget and like not always invest a ton of money into these. Like, you know, they're meant to be cheap and fast and, you know, an easy way to get out for people. I have to imagine Conroy's asking price wasn't that high or they wouldn't have kept getting hired for all of this stuff. So I think the fact that he kept it reasonable because he liked to do it.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say.
Right.
It just goes back to him enjoying being Batman. So he was just like, if I get arrogant about this, they're not going to ask me back.
No. It's so great, man. And you know, the other one I was thinking of today, and I actually played about 2 hours of Arkham Knight before I came in here. I just wanted to play some of it. Is Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, yes.
The movie.
How could I have forgotten about that?
Yes.
That is the best Batman story ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first big, like, Batman spinoff movie. That's mm-hmm. what started all the little DC movies.
Yep. Fantastic. Oh, and it did well. It was in the theaters. I remember going to the movie theater to see that.
Well, that was when you find out Joker being, like, a henchman.
Was it a gangster or something, dad. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of her name in the story.
She played the Phantasm.
She played the Phantasm,
but
right.
I don't remember what her name is
yeah.
itself. It was almost like a Batman Begins kind of story.
Yeah.
Because there was, I think, a scene where he's doesn't even have a suit yet. He's fighting crime with like a bandana on his head or something.
Well, yeah,
like,
it's like, a ski mask.
Ski mask, yeah. yeah.
And he swoops down into the trailer, and then he like gets a rib shot, and he's like, oh, and he's still trying to fight with the rib, like a broken rib.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a great show. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Joker was great in that one too, because mm-hmm. he was just such a great villain in that.
And he was almost Tim Curry.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I couldn't believe that
I heard some of the recordings recently.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good. I didn't think he was bad.
No, he was definitely not what I guess what I thought Curry did was he made him more scary.
Yeah, he was. Well,
he made him more, maybe not maniacal.
Menacing?
Menacing, yeah, yeah. Better word.
Yeah.
Because Hamill's Joker is so great because he's not predictable.
Well, he brought the comedic element to it. He was able to be menacing when he had to be, but he also got the comedy of it, I think.
Well, yeah, but he also, like, what's great about Hamill's Joker is you didn't know if he was going to kill you or slap you with a fish. You know, like, you didn't know what was coming. And that's what I thought made it so great. You know, and then he would laugh about it either way. It just depended on mm-hmm. what and the differences in laughs that Hamill was able to pull off mm-hmm. to make Joker. I mean, just through his laughs, yep. you were like, oh, man, that's it. He's done.
It's a shame. Yeah. And, you know, it's good when you've lost somebody and to get a chance to just talk about them and share about them. And I would just encourage anybody out there, man, go find your favorite Kevin Conroy performance. Throw it out. The great news is he did so much content that you could spend the next 10, 20 years watching Batman stuff and probably not run out.
Well, you were
of
just
Concord stuff.
You were just talking about Rob Paulson.
Yeah.
Rob Paulson has a and he does a bit with what I love about his podcast is he would have these voice actors read other lines from either movies or other cartoons in the voice of their cartoons.
That's awesome.
So there's a few of them out there where Kevin Conroy is reading like Doc Brown or, you know, so get out there and listen to that too.
Take a listen, guys. And we celebrate the man's entire career, as Michael Bolton would say. We celebrate the whole thing, man.
Yeah.
Go play some Injustice. Go play some Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
Watch a couple of cartoons.
Absolutely.
I think the animated
all
series
over YouTube.
Is on Prime, isn't it? Is that, I don't know what's, or is it HBO Max? I don't remember which one it is.
Well, all the Batman stuff is on HBO Max.
Yeah.
You can get all that. They've got a deal with WB right now.
So. At least that's what it is now. By the time if you're listening to this in 2026, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They're probably just streaming it right into your eyeballs at that point. Just
like the box, like Nygma's
the box.
The box. Right?
Yeah.
They're just going to beam it straight into your forehead.
This is your brain on the box. This is my brain on the box. Anybody else feel like a fried egg?
Sucking up your IQ. All right. Well, I think it's good to end on this. We're gonna end it with Kevin Conroy himself. We'll throw it to the man one more time. And just to say, Kevin, you didn't know us, man, but we loved you, and thank you for all the years of incredible content as Batman.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman!
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.